This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Four Capitals, Four Points of View. The NATO forces have deployed their very best dial-a-yield thermonuclear weapon to Europe and made Russia know about it. In the meantime, Russia is looking for an exit that is not a complete defeat. We turn now to Kyiv's point of view. Kyiv has no money. Kyiv has no arms industry. Kyiv has nothing that you could call an economy. It does have an army, not a volunteer army, a drafted army, and it is armed with some of the best weapons that the U.S. has developed along with our allies. However, that makes Kyiv a surrogate army, not a real army. And the question here to you, Professor, is does Kyiv have freedom of movement? Can it do what it wants, or must it check with NATO? And if Kyiv wants to negotiate, will NATO let it negotiate?
Oh, I think that if Kyiv wants to negotiate, that NATO will be, and the United States will be delighted, because this is what we have always envisioned. The problem is that it's hard to imagine a negotiated settlement, which is acceptable to both sides, because remember, Putin has really staked everything on winning the whole thing. So if he's going to have a loss somehow or accept a loss, it has to look like a win. The Ukrainians are not entirely without wherewithal of their own. They have built their own missile systems that are capable of hitting Moscow. And they do have an arms industry, but you're quite right that the margin they enjoy over the Russians now is largely owed to limited access to some of the very best weapons that we have. Of course, the situation there is ghastly, because the Russians are now attacking civilian targets, water supplies, electricity, and so forth, and they have this very, very worrying presence at the nuclear reactor in Zaporizhia. It also seems that there is a lack of coordination or a lack of obedience between the Russian troops in the southeast of Ukraine and the commanders in Moscow, whoever they may be. However, I think the way to look at Kyiv is to say, look, they have a plan of a conventional war that, if supplied, basically at the level that's being supplied now, is going to culminate in the complete deoccupation of Ukraine within perhaps 6 months or so. And the Russians are trying to find a way to shift the, as it were, the place where the decision is made off of the battlefields of Ukraine and into the European states and over the heads of the Ukrainians into discussion among the allies. Now, this poses all kinds of issues for the cohesion of Europe, for what we do about a Russian danger and so forth and so on. When we get to Brussels, I can just mention now that the bomb that you described, this B-61 Model 12 precision nuclear bomb, is not it's not something new, although it comes as a replacement for the Pershing missiles, which were really quite dangerous and which were abolished by Gorbachev and Reagan in 1987 in the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Agreement, which was a great milestone. And as I look back as a historian or whatever I am, it is frustrating to see how very, very close we came to resolving the whole post-World War II division of Europe, when Gorbachev and then Yeltsin were in power, and how now that whole possibility has slipped away completely, not least because of bad policy on the part of George H.W. Bush. But this nuclear bomb is already in the hands of the Germans, who have 20 of them, and they are supposed to be delivered by a Tornado aircraft. Now the Germans are switching to delivery by an F-35. There is a further plan for a unified European nuclear system that's still a decade or so out there. The question is whether these bombs have what's called a permissive action link. In other words, whether they have, whether the United States must turn a key before the Germans can use them. And it, I have no information on that, but the latest that I've seen is that it may be that the Europeans can use these themselves. Now, as for the danger that they pose, these are, as you say, it's dial a yield, but we're talking, you said, I think, 3 kilotons at the beginning, or maybe smaller. Remember that the little boy dropped on Hiroshima was 15 kilotons. And it's really a very, very small bomb. And the chief role of this nuclear talk is to try somehow to apply psychological pressure and fear to the West, so as to get them to go and do what Russia is unable to do, which is break the will of the Ukrainians.
Well, let's go to Brussels and find out if the pressure is working, because unanimity at NATO is impossible. Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, commenting upon the nuclear weapon conversation for some weeks now being answered by the NATO side with deployment of thermonuclear bombs. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.